Welcome to the West Coast Project podcast for the NFL. My name is Mike, and I'm here with my friend Jesse. We're talking about the teams in the NFL. We did our last podcast last year, right before the Super Bowl. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Hey, great, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, good. Let's jump right into it. I'm following a lot of facts and figures spit out by this website called Prediction Machine. And what they do is they run each game 50,000 times, and they run the season 50,000 times. And they break each evaluation down by conference. So let's start with the NFC West. There are eight conferences. The NFC West is rated as the number one conference. The Seahawks, of course, come from the NFC West and won the Super Bowl last year. So there's a good chance they're going to produce this conference will produce the Super Bowl winner once again.
Yes, I agree.
28% chance. They also project how many wins will come from each conference, and this NFC West has 36 wins projected, which is two more than any other conference. It's clearly the best division in football. And I'm glad we got a recorder going now, and I appreciate your patience, Jesse, and I appreciate you being my color man as I throw all these facts and figures at you.
That's all right. You can just give me a pay raise.
Yeah, okay, you got it, man. So they call the Rams the most improved team in the NFC West. Do you follow the Rams at all with their draft picks and trades?
Yeah, the Rams had a pretty strong defense running game last year. And you know, they added a couple of receivers this year, and I feel like they will be better. And some people are projecting them as low as 6-10, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they went 8-8. I'm going to guess they're a good team against the spread this year too.
Yeah, well, let's go down. What they do is they take each team alphabetically. So Arizona is the first one we'll talk about here in the West. Now the Cardinals host the Super Bowl. The stadium is the host of the Super Bowl, and it's never happened before that the host city has had the team in the Super Bowl. Although they've come close a few times, Tampa, Dallas, and of course last year New York.
Right.
But that'd be kind of cool to see a team play in its home stadium during a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the seventh ranked team overall, but they only have a 2% chance of getting into the Super Bowl because they're in such a tough division.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to beat the Niners and the Seahawks.
I think we talked about this before, but if they were in the NFC East, they'd win the division easily, and if they were in the AFC North, they'd beat the Bengals out and win that division easily. But they're just in such a tough division here in the NFC West that you know they're likely not even to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you got a feel for the Rams and the Cardinals in different divisions. Like they might have actually had a much better shot at making the playoffs.
Yeah, so they won 10 games last year. They're favored in 6 games this year. This year they play 8 playoff teams, and they have an 8-8 projected record. You think that's pretty fair?
Yeah, I think it's about right.
Okay, let's talk about St. Louis. St. Louis has now Sean Hill as quarterback because Sam Bradford, unfortunately, is out injured for the season. And another thing Prediction Machine does is they make a cool projection of replacement quarterback win and loss adds or subtractions.
Right.
And they don't find any difference in the total wins for St. Louis, even though Sean Hill replaces Bradford. What do you think about that?
You know, Bradford, even though he was a high pick, he's been, you know, kind of average. And Sean Hill is very underrated as a backup. So I don't really think they lose much by losing Bradford.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a decent replacement. St. Louis is favored in 4 games, and they're projected to have a 7-9 record.
Yeah, I'm going to say 8-8. I might take the over in that.
They got lots of draft picks from the RG3 trade, but they used them mostly on receivers. And some people are kind of criticizing them for that they should have picked a quarterback. They took Garrett Gilbert, who was ranked 27th out of 30 quarterbacks at the time. And I think they kind of thought Bradford would never go down and he'd be the star that they could rely on. But, of course, he's gone now, so they're stuck with Sean Hill. Next is San Francisco, and Jim Harbaugh's in the last year of his contract. Jesse, how important is a coach to a team's success, do you think?
I think it's gigantic. I think if you remember when John Gruden was with Raiders, the Raiders were famous for not paying coaches very well, and they let Gruden go. And the very next year, Gruden won a Super Bowl against the Raiders with Tampa Bay.
Right.
That tells you how important a coach is.
Now, did they let him go or did they trade him? I thought they traded him for some money.
Essentially, they let a bright young coach go. And trade or just let him go, I think it was a huge mistake, and I think it's proven by the next year's Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, he had all this. I mean, wouldn't you love to have the inside path to all the secrets and signals and plays and shit to the team you're going to play?
Yeah, I mean, they crushed them, and the Raiders were no joke that year. They were a good team that year with Rich Gannon.
Yeah, there was a little controversy that they may have even let the, they may have let them run up the score. Who was Bill Callahan? Was he like friendly with Gruden?
I don't know about that. I don't want to comment on that because I don't know. But you never know what happens with that kind of thing.
Yeah, this is podcast. You got to give wild ass comments.
Yeah, right. Gotta... Yeah, definitely. Bill Callahan, Helen, against the Raiders.
Be totally irresponsible. We're going to talk about Jay Gruden later on, but we'll go right to San Francisco now. Harbaugh's the coach. Last year, the contract. If they lose him, I don't think they're going to lose a whole lot. But I think the team that gets him will get a whole lot. Right. I think coaches kind of build their legacy and leave behind their systems.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
Harbaugh's probably got a system in place that a new guy could step in and
yeah, they've had good draft picks and they built a really good team. So yeah, you could definitely make that argument. Absolutely.
So what's wrong with the 49ers, Jesse? They say here the offensive and defensive lines are aging. Their players are getting old and their players are going to jail, getting suspended.
Yeah. Alden Smith missing, I think, 8 games, right?
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think they have a chance to keep pace with Seattle?
Basically, they have Michael Crabtree and kind of an older Anquan Boldin, but they really were having trouble throwing the ball against Seattle last year. To me, the great X factor there was Kaepernick's running ability. Now, I understand a coach's job is to save his quarterback's life and make sure he doesn't get destroyed every play, but I feel like if Harbaugh is willing to basically take some chances with Kaepernick's ability, the guy is almost unstoppable. I feel like if... despite some deficiencies and despite the defense declining a bit, I feel like if they let Kaepernick kind of go to the next level, they'll be a dominant team. But I feel like if they just continue to rely on the run game, they won't be able to take that next leap.
Well, they're favored in 12 games. They're favored in their first 6 games. They're projected to go 9-7. And they have a 46% chance of being a playoff team and a 4% chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I might put $10 on the over, make them go 10-6, but 9-7 isn't out of the question.
Do you think, Jesse, that their new stadium will help them?
Well, if you've ever been to Candlestick, it's pretty awful, so it can't help but help the morale a little bit. You got to think that this team is good, and now that they've got a really awesome stadium, I think their fan base might be pretty fired up.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be excited to do well in the new stadium.
Sure.
Seahawks. Golden Tate's gone. Now he's a Detroit Lion. How much do you think that'll affect the Seahawks?
You know, I like Golden Tate a lot. Scouts say he has some of the best hands in the league. But quite frankly, they seem to be content with running the ball really well and then letting Russell Wilson improvise a bit with some screen passes and stuff. So I love Golden Tate as a player, but I'm not really sure how much that hurts them.
So do you think they can repeat? It hasn't happened since 2004 with the Patriots.
I mean, if you're looking at the NFC, I mean, I think New Orleans has a shot, but I think Seattle is absolutely the favorite, and I think there's a good reason for it.
Seattle is, in fact, favored in all of their games, including Denver coming to Seattle. Of course, being favored in all their games means they're projected to sweep the 49ers. They're 12-4 projected record, top three in all the NFL.
Yeah, they seem to do really well at home, especially against the Niners. I have a feeling they'll split. I think the Niners are good enough to beat Seattle in San Francisco or in Santa Clara.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Seattle is, although it's interesting, we get all the way to the end of this. These prediction machine guys pick Seattle and Denver to again be in the Super Bowl, but this time they pick Denver. Last year they picked Seattle.
Yeah, and obviously they were right that time.
Okay, so let's jump over to the AFC West. AFC West happens to be the second best division of the 8 divisions. They have a 27% chance of producing a Super Bowl winner. They're third out of all 8 divisions in wins with 32, and they're tied with the NFC South with 32 wins. Let's see, 55% of the time, the Super Bowl winner is going to come from either the NFC or AFC West. So the Western divisions for sports, both football and baseball, are hugely more strong than the
right.
Eastern teams. 62% of the World Series winner is likely to come from the West as well.
Fascinating.
So
that's an odd anomaly, isn't it?
And I think if you threw in basketball too, you'd probably have a pretty good chance with basketball. Even they're better teams in the West.
Absolutely.
Okay, now let's talk a little about this quarterback stuff. The Broncos are 94% chance of getting into the playoffs with Peyton Manning. That's the most likely chance of a team reaching the playoffs in the NFL. Sure. And the Chargers are 3 games behind them. So if Peyton's healthy, that it's a really good bet that the Broncos are going to be in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
So this website did this quarterback study, and they did this backup gap. So if the backup quarterback had to replace the starter, what would happen?
Who is the backup in Denver?
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, boy.
And now if Peyton goes out and Osweiler comes in, it's the biggest disparity in the NFL. They lose.
That makes sense.
They lose 11 points per game, and they go from being a 94% chance of playoff team to a 46% chance.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, obviously, some teams, you know, New York Jets have Michael Vick as a backup. I mean, there are teams with some pretty name recognition quarterbacks, but Denver is not one of them.
If the 49ers lost Kaepernick and had to go to Blaine Gabbert, they would lose 8 points per game.
Wow.
If Drew Brees went down and Luke McCown had to come in, they would lose 7 points a game.
Wow. What was Denver again?
11.
Interesting.
And if Aaron Rodgers went down and Matt Flynn had to play, they'd lose 7 points per game.
Right.
So it just shows how important a healthy QB is to winning games.
Absolutely. Very few great starters.
They also call that Denver is the most improved team in the AFC West. Even though they're a great team, they're the most improved team.
Denver beefed up their defense a lot.
Yep.
And all the fantasy football fans that are counting on Peyton to repeat that performance, I mean, no one can doubt that Peyton is still one of the top, you know, two or three best quarterbacks in the league. However, you know, if their defense projects out the way it's supposed to be, you could see a lot more running than passing this year. I don't mean only running, but they threw a ridiculous amount of passes last year.
Yeah. Denver's also the most improved team in the entire NFL. You mentioned defense. They got Chris Harris as cornerback, Von Miller. They did get a good offensive tackle, Ryan Clady.
Right.
Aqib Talib, another cornerback. Yep. DJ Ward, DeMarcus Ware. So they're really stocked with defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a scary. I think they looked at that Seattle tape and they said, yeah, it's great that we can score a lot of touchdowns. If we can't stop anybody, it doesn't really matter.
Yep. So the Broncos are favored in 15 games. The Seahawks is the only game they're not favored in when they go to Seattle. And they're projected to have a 12-4 record. And their average win is projected to be 10 or more points. So they're going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. Although I think that many are predicting as a dark horse New England. I mean, I'm not trying to switch divisions, but Denver obviously should be the favorite. If you're betting on odds in Vegas, they're the favorite. But I really feel like New England could unseat them this year.
Yeah, we'll get to them. So next down the league in the AFC West, we have Kansas City. Kansas City's supposed to come way back down to earth this year, revert back to average. They had the easiest schedule through their first 9 games last year since 1960.
Wow.
So they beat teams like Dallas, Cleveland, Houston, who was had an off year, Tennessee. And then when they got back to like teams that were kind of decent, they went 2-6 to finish their last 8. So their defense is good.
They did look into a pretty good schedule. So
their defense is pretty good, but their offense is rated 29th, even though they have Jamal Charles. It's and a new big contract for Alex Smith. So they're still rated 29th overall in offense.
Yeah, and you know the thing about Kansas City is like, I mean, yeah. You could argue that Jamal Charles is, if it's not the best back in the NFL, he's certainly one of the top 5. But their skill position players, you know, Dwayne Bowe is their number one receiver still, but behind him, there's a lot of question marks. So I think they should absolutely have a deficit of about 4 or 5 games from last year's win total.
Yeah, they're favored in 5 games this year, and they're projected to have a 7-9 record.
7-9. Well, yeah. Obviously that'd be a huge. Were they 12-4 last year or something?
Yeah, weren't they like 9-0 though?
You mean to start the season?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think 7-9 sounds a little bit low, but certainly that defense probably won't be what they were last year.
All right, buddy. Oakland, they still your team?
I am a long-suffering Raider fan. Not proud of it, but you can't, you know. I mean, obviously, I love watching the NFL, and I'll watch any number of teams, but the team I'll have in the inside of my coffin will be silver and black.
They got a lot of old free agents in their 30s on that team.
Matt Schaub. Can I talk to you about Matt Schaub? I mean, last year, the only Raider game I got to see live was the Redskins played the Raiders, and I got to see Robert Griffin III play Matt Flynn and the Oakland Raiders, and that was probably the worst performance I've ever seen by a quarterback anywhere. And that was Matt Flynn. And they found and traded like a second or third round pick for him. And now they get Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub they paid $8 million for, which had he started week one, that might not be so controversial. They're probably going to start their rookie in week one.
Yeah, yeah, it's a sorry situation. I don't have too many more notes on the Raiders, but I do have some numbers, and they're relatively gruesome.
Yeah.
So you ready? They're favored in one game in week 16 versus the Bills, and the Bills are also favored in only one game. So,
listen, if you're a Raider fan, you know what this is like.
Yeah,
they'll probably lose that game. I don't really care if they're favored or not. The Raiders have a long history, transcends all coaches. That they win the games they're not supposed to win, and they lose all the games they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
So that game will be favored against the Bills. They'll probably lose by 20.
So their record's projected to be 5-11.
Right.
So they're going to win a few.
Right. And, you know, and the sad thing is, you know, I think when Al Davis died, I think some people saw this as a new regime. And, you know, maybe the fact is the Raiders' drafts have been some of the worst in the NFL if you look at the last 20 years. And I think I and many fans thought, well, you know, God bless Al Davis, you know, more power to him. Maybe they'll start with some better drafts, but I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, so the last team in the AFC West is San Diego. They got a new coach, Mike McCoy. And I happen to have some quarterback fantasy numbers on this team. I don't know if you play fantasy football still or if you do.
Sure.
But they say David Rivers is supposed to have a 66% completion ratio, 4,200 yards, 31 TDs, and 14 INTs. I don't know where that puts him in the fantasy competition, but not too bad.
How many touchdowns was it?
31.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, if you're elite quarterback, you see scoring the 30s. So
they have an improving defense. You know, I've always thought of San Diego as kind of a ho-hum team, even though they, right. You know, they were supposed to always be better than they did.
Right.
But they have improving defense, and they're favored in 9 games, and they're supposed to have a 9-7 record.
Yeah, I watched actually a good deal of San Diego games last year. And I was really impressed. Philip Rivers had a bad year or two before that. But I really like they've developed a really good short passing game there. Keenan Allen has some of the best hands in the NFL. And they have a young tight end with Darius Green that's very good as well. So, and the guy to look out for there is Donald Brown. Donald Brown just signed a decent contract. Even though he's not the starter, I think Donald Brown has shown a lot of potential in Indianapolis.
Yeah, they're underdogs in their last 4 of their 5 games. So they've always kind of had a good team and kind of failed at the end of the season. So
sure,
they're supposed to do that again. They're underdogs at the end of the year.
But, you know, I like Philip Rivers as a quarterback. And, you know, when you have a team that's pretty decent and a pretty good starting quarterback, I think you've got to like their chances.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, AFC East is the 5th ranked out of the 8 divisions. They're 4th in chances of getting somebody into the Super Bowl at 9%. And that's mostly weighted by New England being in that division.
Sure.
Their win ranking is 7th out of the 8 divisions. They're supposed to have 21 wins. Mm-hmm. And again, no team improves over last year. They're all pretty much the same. So let's start with the Bills. EJ Manuel's ranked 32nd in overall quarterback rankings.
Yeah. EJ Manuel is not very good. I mean, I defer to the experts on this one. And scouts say that Manuel really looked pretty horrible in the preseason. I mean, you got to love Sammy Watkins. He is unbelievable. And they just acquired the guy from Tampa Bay. Can't remember his name, but good receiver, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. So, I mean, and, you know, they got Spiller. They've got Jackson. They should be able to run the ball really, really well again. I don't believe that E.J. Manuel can propel them past 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, they're a little bit like you were saying with the Raiders. They win a game every now and then, kind of surprisingly, but they lose
absolutely
a lot.
Yep.
They're supposed to have a 6-10 record, and they're less than a field goal underdog in 6 games. So there's going to be some close games. Or supposedly,
sure,
on paper, they're close games.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is not bad, and they're going to run the ball well.
They're only favored in one game, a home game versus the Jets.
Yeah, thank God I don't have to go to that game.
So Miami has a new coach, Bill Lazor, or new offensive coordinator, sorry, new
right.
offensive coach, and a new offensive line. Their new offensive numbers are supposed to improve into producing 5 more plays per game and 3.5 points per game over last year.
Right.
So their defense is also supposed to give up 2.7 more points per game. So it's almost a wash.
Yeah. So they acquired Philadelphia's, I can't remember if he was the OC or the offensive line coach, but essentially they're going to adopt Philadelphia's kind of play style, which is a lot of plays, a lot of volume of plays per hour. And
yeah,
and
Chip Kelly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Lamar Miller is good, but he hasn't performed yet. Noshon Moreno's a veteran who's not very good. He's kind of tailing off, but he's probably competent enough to do well. They have Mike Wallace, who you know, was up and down last year. Tannehill's kind of underrated. I mean, Miami's not a good team, but I think they should be better this year. You got to look at Miami and just think that they just haven't had much direction on offense. And I really feel like that kind of system could really kind of enliven them a little bit.
Yeah, they're the very definition of mediocrity. They're favored in 8 games, and they're projected to have an 8-8 record.
That sounds about right.
New England. New England is now, according to these guys, better defense than an offensive team.
So they rate their defense higher than their offense.
Well, or maybe what they mean to say is they need to get better at defense, because they actually have the 5th best offense and the 14th best defense in the league. So I probably said that backwards. They have they get better at D, they'll do better because they have pretty established offensive team.
I think New England, you know, they're not going to be the New England of old with Randy Moss, but you've got a somewhat healthy Gronk. You've got a healthy Shane Vereen. You know, you have a lot of weapons on offense. So it's not so much that their defense is great, but I have a feeling we could be seeing something similar to just a few years ago in that they can probably score a lot of points, which obviously helps the defense.
Yeah. They're favored in 14 of their games. They're only underdogs at home versus Denver and away at Green Bay.
They're going to win that game against Denver.
And they're favored by under 3 in only 3 games. So when they're favored, they're really strong favorites.
Sure.
The teams...
I have a feeling... Oh, I'm sorry, I was just going to say that I have a feeling that if you look at New England's history as an underdog, they do really, really well against the spread.
So those teams where they're close favorites are Minnesota, at Indianapolis, and at San Diego. 3 probably pretty tough games.
Right.
But they're favored by less than 3. They're projected to be 10-6. That's 2.5 wins better than any other AFC East team. So they're supposed to win easily that division.
I would say so.
84% chance of playoffs.
Right.
Jets. The Jets added Chris Johnson and Eric Decker. But they're not really quite set with quarterback. They have Geno Smith and or Michael Vick.
It looks like Smith will be the starter there for sure. I mean, unless something changes, I think he's won that job.
And actually, they ran the numbers on that, which quarterback would be better. And they had, if Vic was the starter, they win one more game.
Right.
And they jump from being a 25% playoff team with Geno to 35% with Mike Vick.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm a Geno Smith fan, but if you look at their offensive talent last year, it wasn't very good. And I went back and looked at a little Geno this year as far as like his stats last year. And he actually finished pretty well the last 4 games. Not statistically great, but he had kind of 4 solid outings to finish it out. And you know, Decker gives them a nice big target. Chris Johnson gives them, you know, a better running back than they had on the team last year. So I feel like they could be surprised a few people.
Yeah, and they'll probably have a decent defense. They're always kind of noted for defense.
Yeah, hurting in secondary, but a good pass rush.
They're favored in 3 games and projected to be 6-10.
Yeah, you know, I might bet the over on that, but not by way over that.
You better bet quick, buddy. You got till Thursday.
Yeah.
By the way, that's what they claim is the best value in all NFL betting is the over and under win total numbers. There's the most mistakes in that because, you know, if you don't do your homework, you don't know how a team's going to be until you actually start seeing them play.
Yeah, and to me, the when you're betting on something like that, it's not just, you know, has the team improved, but has the public's perception of the team improved.
Exactly. We'll get to the North and South divisions. Like the Bears are one team that's way, way over projected by their fans to win. They're supposed to be like a 50-50, 500 team. But fans are saying that's way too low. 8 is way too low of a win number for the Bears.
So is their season total wins right now 8-8?
I think it's 8.5. You have to win 9 to win the bet.
I got to tell you, the thing about the Bears, I'll only say this for a second because we haven't covered the Bears yet, but I would love to take that over. I think the Bears could have the best offense in football.
Yeah, they may, but they have a pretty weak defense.
No, they do. Absolutely. And they play against the Packers, you know, twice a year. I'll tell you what, you line up and try to stop both Alshon Jeffery and Brandon Marshall, it's not possible.
Yeah, they're going to be good. I mean, they're going to have some offensive firepower, just how much they can hold others back. But we'll get to them. NFC East, they used to be the NFL's best division. Now they're fourth out of the eight divisions. They rank fifth in wins at 32 wins and fifth in rank of the eight divisions in order of producing a Super Bowl winner at only 6%.
Right.
And the most improved team is the Redskins. They're supposed to score, or they're supposed to win five more games. They're only 3-13 last year, so it's easy to improve on that.
Yeah.
and they have a 36% playoff chance now, the Redskins. So they you know, they had some injuries and they kind of fell flat a little bit last year.
Yeah. Robert Griffin's another guy I'm fascinated with. I've watched a lot of his games, and I think people are pointing to the preseason because he looked bad, but it is a new offensive system. And, I mean, we're talking about could be one of the more talented receiving corps in the NFL. You got Gerald Jackson got added there. Jordan Reed's one of the bright young tight ends. And, you know, Griffin, I know that Griffin's had a lot of criticism, but I've seen the guy play. He can ball. And I just feel like their defense is probably still weak, but offensively they might be pretty frightening this year.
All right, well, let's start the division with Dallas. Dallas has a pretty young offensive line. They're in the top 10 in run offense, but the bottom 10 in run defense. So that sounds like a pretty good over team to bet.
They're the bottom 32 in all aspects of defense.
Are they?
You got to love betting the over in Dallas games. They're terrible on defense.
Yeah, it shows they're 32nd in the league in total defense. So
they're off. They were bad going in, and they got some injuries.
If they can score points and they can't stop anybody, that's your over team there.
Exactly.
They've had three straight 8-8 seasons, and they're only favorites in one game this year. At Jacksonville.
If you're a Dallas fan, you're looking at that game. If you think that's an easy win, you got another thing coming.
Yeah, so they're underdogs a lot, but there's seven games in which they're less than a field goal underdog. So there's going to be some close games.
Absolutely.
They're projected to be 6-10. And they're third least likely team in the whole NFL to make the playoffs. What do you think of Romo, Jesse? Is he average or above average or below or what?
Romo is the kind of guy that, I mean, I'm not going to tell you he's a great quarterback, but if you look at what Romo's done over his career with Dallas, it's pretty unbelievable statistics. And I know the statistics aren't everything, but the guy has numbers over the last, say, 5 years that really are better or as good as some of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. So then I have to go ahead and argue that if your quarterback is good, but you're still not a very good team, you got problems elsewhere.
Yeah, I like Romo. I think he's a way above average quarterback.
Absolutely.
All right, Giants. There's no more Kevin Gilbride as the offensive coordinator. They now have Ben McAdoo, the tight end coach from the Packers. And what did I say here about Andy Reid? Oh, Andy Reid was also a tight end coach, if you remember way back when he was just a coach.
Sure.
So maybe that'll inject some offense into the Giants.
Absolutely.
He said now this guy, Ben McAdoo, wants Manning to complete 70% of his passes, but there's no way that's possible, right?
He's never been that great. He's not a terrible quarterback, but I can't imagine he's ever come close to that before.
Yeah, that's just an obscene number for a quarterback. But their running game... Their running game should be better.
Yeah, I like Rashad Jennings. They have a good young rookie there as well. I think that they've got some problems on the line. Manning is not always better than average, but the fact is I think they're going to run the ball pretty well. And Tom Coughlin offenses where the ball gets run pretty well usually do okay.
So the Giants are favored in 12 games, the first three and the last six and a couple others sprinkled in. They're projected to be 9-7.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd probably bet the under in that. I mean, they're probably going to be competitive a lot of games. I'm not sure about 9-7, though.
Okay.
I feel like 7-9, to be honest.
We'll go to the Eagles. Chip Kelly, the offensive genius, but can they get to a new level? They have to, you know, they've been kind of stuck in the middle of the pack. Kelly isn't necessarily the best defensive coach either. He's an offensive genius, but can he keep the defense together?
Yeah, obviously, they've got questions of defense. Nick Foles, had a magical season last year. I think he was something like 30 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That is unreproducible. There's no way he'll come close to that this year. But obviously he does well on that offense. So I think that they should be competitive in most games. I mean, they added Darren Sproles, who's very good. They have question marks at wide receiver, but they drafted a good rookie as well. So I think they should be good again on offense. And just to make, the question remains to be, how good can their defense be?
So the Eagles are favored in 10 of their games, 7 of their 8 home games, and they're an under field goal dog on the road less than 3 times.
Right.
So 7-9, they're projected to be a 7-9 team.
Yeah, I would have said 7-9 or 8-8.
Okay, the Redskins. Jay Gruden is now coaching the Redskins, ex of the Bengals. What was he, the offensive coordinator for the Bengals?
Right. The pass-happy offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they actually say mostly running between tackles and a lot of passing. They don't really have a sophisticated running game. They just heave the ball around. The Bengals.
No, it's true. And the thing is, though, I like Alfred Morris. So while that team has unbelievable firepower on offense, I feel like, could you imagine the running lanes that, I mean, no Sean Moreno last year for Denver, kind of a mediocre running back at this point, finished like fifth or sixth in the NFL. Alfred Morris is a younger player, got a lot more jump to his step. And I feel like, no, he's not necessarily a coach that favors the running game, but I feel like they will be a threat on the ground.
So, yeah, last year, just keep the Bengals in mind because of Gruden coming from them and him kind of directing that whole offense. The only team that passed more than the Bengals was Joe Flacco, the Ravens. And Dalton had more. He had most of the on the Bengals again. Dalton had the most designed quarterback runs. So Gruden's going to have some interesting things to do with Washington with RG3 if he's going to start designing quarterback runs.
Yeah, maybe RG3 could learn how to slide.
Yeah, I don't know.
kind of an important thing if you're an NFL quarterback.
And they have DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, I think you mentioned earlier, too. So they've got some targets.
You know, I've watched probably just about every Robert Griffin game in the NFL. I'm a big fan of his. And I think when you see what he's done with kind of really subpar offensive talent, I think Jackson really makes that offense a lot more potent. He stretches the field in a way they've never had before.
Then they actually, if you may remember, like a bit of a quarterback controversy with Kirk Cousins when RG3 got hurt and Cousins played pretty well. But they say he's not a very good fit because he's mostly a West Coast offense kind of quarterback. And
yeah, and did you notice that Joe Theismann said that the Redskins should be playing Kirk Cousins instead of RG3?
Yeah, well, he's an old school drop back passer.
First of all, here's the thing. I'm not saying that he should shut up. He should say whatever he wants to. I gotta tell you, man, I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins isn't a decent quarterback. That seems like a lot of nonsense from a guy that, I don't know, to me, I've watched both guys play, and Robert Griffin could be, and I'm not saying he is, could be a pretty transcendent talent.
Oh, definitely. He's got to just be in the right situation.
Absolutely.
So the Redskins are, by the way, do you say Redskins, Jesse, still, or are you going to back away from that racial term? Racist.
They were talking about this, and someone was defending the Redskins name. He was saying, you know, some Native Americans don't mind it. All I'm going to say is, this is, to me, the salient point to be made in this area. Walk up to a Native American, say, hello, Redskin, how you doing, and see how that goes. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, yeah,
call,
just
he's Native American Redskin, and tell me how that goes.
It's just a way different context, though.
All I know is common practice is the worst argument in all of arguments, and that it's always been that way does not work for me.
But so you're not going to call them Redskins anymore?
I'm not going to boycott the name. I'm not an NFL commentator per se, but Phil Simms is.
Yeah, so it's Washington, I guess, from now on.
The Washington football team.
Well, Washington is favored in 9 games, and they're projected to be 8-8.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a very good defense, but I could see them going 8-8.
All right, man. Well, let's. That's the East and West of the NFC and AFC. Let's do the North and South.
Great.
So the NFC North is the fifth in the 8 divisions, the fifth ranked powerful division. They have a 4% chance of producing a Super Bowl winner, and they say the most improved team in the NFC North is Minnesota.
Norv Turner, obviously, big boost for that offense. I mean, Turner has produced great offenses in practically every place he's ever been.
Minnesota has added Norv Turner, of course, and Mike Zimmer, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Matt Castle isn't a great quarterback, but there's a lot of positive things for Teddy Bridgewater, so it's conceivable that their audience will be, or that their offense will be better. And Cordarrelle Patterson, as raw as he is, he could be a dominant player, so he's got another year under his belt.
Yeah, well, I'll have some comments when we get to the Vikings as we talk about individual teams in this division, but they do predict Minnesota to be the most improved team. They pick Chicago to be the fourth team in the division, and its over total for wins is 8.5. So if they win 9 games, they're going to go over that total. How do you feel about that?
I know that Chicago's had a bad defense last year. There is no doubt about it. But by all accounts, they worked pretty hard to improve that defense. And if they just make incremental improvements on defense, the offense is arguably one of the best in the league. So I would bet the over on that one.
Yeah, they have the toughest record in the NFC North out of all the teams. So they play the most highly ranked teams.
Sure, I would be shocked. I'll tell you right now, to me, Chicago is better than both Detroit and Minnesota.
Okay, well, let's go through them. Detroit, now Jim Schwartz is gone. They had only one win in their last 6 games last year, and they were either plagued by bad discipline or bad luck. They just were just horrible. They lost 5 games by a field goal or less, and they lost 15 fumbles in the 2013 season.
Yeah, you always got to wonder if, I mean, Matthew Stafford can always put up a lot of touchdowns and yards. You got to wonder if he's the answer there. I mean, I feel like Ndamukong Suh is kind of like the honorary team captain, because undisciplined is the word I would use for the Detroit Lions.
Well, he's one of the most undisciplined.
That's what I'm saying. He's like their honorary captain because he kind of is endemic of their problems.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
They're favored in 8 games, and they're projected to go 8-8.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. You know, they're gonna win some games. They're gonna score a lot of points, but they're gonna lose probably some stinkers too.
Yeah, yeah. Green Bay's next. They have Eddie Lacy and Aaron Rodgers both back. They're supposed to score less points than Denver and New Orleans in the NFC or in the NFL, but they have still a great offense. They're very efficient. They're second in pass efficiency and third in run efficiency in offense. So they're a great offensive team.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy is a monster. Aaron Rodgers is easily up there with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, and Tom Brady is one of the best top 5 quarterbacks in the league. So I think they're, as usual, they're going to be a contender.
Prediction Machine does another interesting thing, is they rank fantasy guys, and they pick Lacy to be the leader in rushing in the whole NFL. 1,500 yards.
I don't have a problem with that. Lacy is a really good, powerful back.
Yeah, then you figure they play a lot of cold weather games. They probably run more because of the weather and the conditions and stuff. So I would agree with that.
Well, and if you're Eddie Lacy, I mean, you got to be drooling. I mean, imagine the play action that they'll have.
Yeah, for sure. They have a receiver called Jeff Janis. What do you know about him?
I know nothing about it. Why don't you tell me?
I just had notes. He's supposed to be a star to look for on fantasy. He may be a rookie.
Yeah, I don't usually rely too much on rookie wide receivers, but I do like Gerald Borken. He's a young guy that should do well there.
They have another rookie called Davante Adams, supposed to be big at receiver.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they tend to, you know, Rodgers, I think, really tends to target Jordy Nelson pretty heavily. He can really rely on him. And then they've got an amazing second guy in Randall Cobb. So I'm not saying those other guys won't contribute. What will happen, if you're a fantasy player, what will happen is one of those guys will explode for 100 yards and a touchdown, and then the next week they'll get nothing.
Yep. Green Bay is favored in 14 games. They're projected to be 10-6. But they're supposed to have 2 losses by 7 or more at New Orleans and Seattle. And 6 wins by a field goal or less. So that 10-6 is pretty precarious.
Yeah, you got to think that. I mean, Seattle, I do like them this year, but I feel like their defense may not be as strong. So I don't think tomorrow night's game is going to be like a blowout by any means. I think Green Bay can keep it close with their offense.
Okay, we'll finish up with the Vikings. We talked a little bit about Mike Zimmer not being the head coach. He was the former defensive coordinator of the Bengals. And he should help them out. They have a pretty good defense, and they should be better with him as head coach now.
Absolutely. Cincinnati was pretty ferocious on defense last year, so he gets some credit for that.
And we talked about Norv Turner being their O coordinator. Now, we talked about this quarterback ranking by Prediction Machine. If Matt Castle goes out and Teddy Bridgewater comes in, they have the same chances. But if Christian Ponder comes in, they drop by 4 games.
Yeah, Ponder's pretty terrible. And I don't really think much of Castle either. I mean, you remember he did pretty well with New England and then signed a big contract with KC and never really did anything. So you got to think that, especially if they struggle early, Bridgewater will come in. But although, you know, Norv Turner is a good quarterback guy, so it's very possible that a mediocre quarterback like Castle could do better.
Vikings are favored in four games and projected to go 7-9. Green Bay is supposed to win the division. They have a 62% chance of being in the playoffs. And the division standings at the end of the season are supposed to be this: Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, Chicago last.
Yeah, can't agree with that. Sorry, I think Chicago's still better than Detroit and Minnesota. So
you'd put them Green Bay, Chicago, and then flip-flop whatever,
yeah,
Detroit, Minnesota.
Yeah, I like Green Bay, Chicago first and second.
Okay, let's talk about the AFC North. The AFC North is the worst division in football, eighth of eight divisions. They have a 4% chance of producing a Super Bowl winner, and they are projected to win 31 games. Now, they call the most improved team in the AFC North Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. So Cleveland's, they got Ben Tate. They're going to run the ball pretty effectively. They lost Josh Gordon, but I'm not sure that Josh Gordon, I mean, as troubled as he is, the fact is they got Andrew Hawkins from Cincinnati, and he's tiny, but they signed him for a lot of money. They love him. And I feel like, you know, Cleveland's defense has improved. They always, you know, have Joe Hayden as their stalwart quarterback. So I feel like Cleveland could play pretty good defense and run the ball. So I think they're going to be a much improved team this year. I agree.
Cleveland has not gone over its win total in five consecutive years.
Yeah.
So whatever number they throw out there, Cleveland manages to stay under it.
Yeah. You know, obviously they got questions at quarterback, but I think they'll play a lot of teams close. I think they might be a team that might be fun to bet as when they're underdogs this year, because they might play close on a few games.
You think we'll see Manziel?
I mean, you know, Hoyer is no slouch. I'm not saying he's great. But, you know, all it's going to take for them is if they lose three out of the first four games, you know, the crowd's going to be clamoring for Manziel.
Okay, Baltimore's in this division. We'll start alphabetically with them. They averaged 3 yards per carry rushing in 2013. And they have a new offensive coordinator, too. They have Gary Kubiak, who is the Texans coach. And he promises 3.5 or more yards per carry. And so he's going to work on the running game, I guess. I don't know what that's supposed to mean to improve the team. But
yeah, you know, I mean, they're going to do the zone blocking a la Kubiak, as he likes to do that. And Ray Rice, I know Ray Rice has had some off-field troubles. Ray Rice is still a young man at 27, and he lost some weight. And I got to tell you, the guy's still really good. So Flacco has kind of always been average, but they did add Steve Smith. And I feel like, you know, they got Dennis Pitta back. He's healthy. So at least on offense, I think it should be much improved this year.
It's hard to not improve after their season last year. They were Super Bowl winners 2012, so they dropped off really steeply. They should come back.
Oh, last year, I believe it was something like they scored 27 touchdowns total. I mean, it was like one of the lowest touchdowns in the entire league.
Yeah. Well, Baltimore's favored in eight games. They're projected to go 8-8. And seven games on the Baltimore schedule are to be decided by 1 point or less. That's relatively amazing. So they could be.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough division.
They could be, they could add seven or lose. It could be 1-15 or 15-1 if you go by that fact.
Yeah. To me, it feels like every team in that division is 8-8.
Yeah. Well, it's the worst division. So.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. Can Andy Dalton take the next step? He seems to be pretty good, but. No?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What'd you say?
I mean, continue. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, Andy Dalton, I mean, no one's saying he's terrible, but Andy Dalton is very inconsistent, and it feels like one game he throws for 400 yards, and the next game he throws for 150 yards and three interceptions. So I don't think he's consistent enough to win for the Bengals.
Well, Prediction Machine says he better stay in the game, because if Jason Campbell steps in, if Dalton quarterbacks all 16 games, they make the playoffs 65% of the time. If Jason Campbell is the backup in any of the part of the season, they only make the playoffs 45% of the time.
Yeah, Campbell is a backup and nothing better.
Yeah. He's 23rd in the NFL as a replacement quarterback.
Oh, they've ranked him 23rd?
Yeah, as a replacement.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, he's not very good anymore.
Cincinnati's favored in 12 games, and they are projected to go 9-7.
You know, that's a team I don't do a lot of betting anymore. If I was betting, I would be really leery of betting on the Bengals, especially as heavy favorites.
Yeah, both favored in 12 games. You know, half their games are against their own division, but still, sure. That's a lot of games to be favored in.
Well, and as you know, when you're talking about divisional games, if you're laying, you know, more than a touchdown, that's a risky bet anyway.
Yep. So Cleveland, they've got they actually split this for Hoyer and Manziel. So we, of course, we have Manziel. The cool, funny thing to watch is him flipping off other teams as he runs past them.
Sure. Yeah.
He's going to get crushed, man. Yeah,
Brett Favre, and I can't really argue with that.
Well, they say with
not as far as like as good as he is, but just that, you know, kind of that cavalier attitude, and that sometimes that works for players.
Yeah, sometimes until the 312-pound defensive end catches you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, if he, exactly. That's a good point.
So with Hoyer, they're projected to go 7-9, 22% chance of being in the playoffs, and they'll score 21 points per game. With Manziel, they're projected to go 8-8 and have a 35% chance of being a playoff team and score 23 points per game.
Interesting.
So they are 2 points better with Manziel.
Well, what's interesting about that is, you know, Manziel, I mean, Hoyer is a competent NFL quarterback, right? So Manziel definitely can't, I would say probably cannot read defenses anywhere close to the way that Hoyer can. But what Manziel would offer is some really interesting play action with the running game, meaning I feel like his ability to run and improvise could actually really improve that offense in that regard.
Another interesting thing with Cleveland is they have the earliest bye in the season at week 4. So we might see Manziel in week 5. We might see that quarterback switch early in the season.
If I were a betting man, I'd put a little money on that.
Is Josh, would you bet against it?
No, I mean, I feel like Manziel's going to be starting by week 5. And not because Hoyer is terrible, but I think they're going to want to see him play.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see him play just for the heck of seeing how he, you know, the fun of seeing how he does. Why Absolutely. Not? Josh Gordon is out for the season?
Josh Gordon lost his appeal. He says he's going to sue, but he's out for 16 games.
So what happened? What did he do? What happened with him?
So Josh Gordon, his troubles go back to college, apparently. And he's actually violated the league's substance abuse policy more than once. I believe last year he got a 2-4-game suspension for marijuana. And this year it was like a second or a third offense. He claims it was secondhand smoke. But the fact is, Gordon, as talented as he is, he's kind of wasting his gifts right now.
And he kind of made the news because of Ray Rice getting 2 games for punching his girlfriend or fiance. And Josh Gordon got the season for having some drug problems. It seemed a little out of whack,
you know,
there.
And here's the thing. Say, I'm not even going to talk about legalization, none of that stuff. I'm just saying that a guy that's smoking weed is a lot different than a guy who beats up his girlfriend unconscious. And I don't really care what the circumstances are. The NFL is a big problem with women right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. As we found out just a few weeks later with the 49ers. I mean, that's punishable by, like, jail time, not just missing games. That's bullshit.
Well, and did you see that I think it was Robert Irsay for the Colts. I mean, that guy, he drunk drove and was on pills and got suspended a dollar fee or something. It's like the guy's the owner of the Colts. Do you think a fine is going to hurt that guy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous.
Cleveland is only favored in 6 games, but they're projected to be 8-8. So and this whole division's mediocre, but 8-8's not a bad record for a team that, you know, that seems high for Cleveland, a high amount of wins.
Sure. I think they should be competitive, but like you said, the division's kind of a wash.
The last team in this division is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't draft very well, but this year they seem to have a pretty decent draft. That they got a linebacker named Ryan Shazier from Ohio State and Stephen Tuitt from Notre Dame, defensive tackle. So they're rebuilding their defense. And they're probably in a rebuilding phase this year.
Defense looks kind of lame. I would say the Pittsburgh defenses of old are probably gone, but you got to be excited about some of their offensive talent. Marcus Wheaton's very good. I think they have a guy named Dree Archer who's very good, a little kind of speedster a la Von Austin. And they're apparently going to – Todd Haley's going to let Ben Roethlisberger run a lot more spread and kind of – no huddle. And I got to tell you, Ben Roethlisberger is a very underrated quarterback. I feel like even though their defense might be kind of mediocre this year, I feel like offensively they're actually going to score a lot of points this year.
And Roethlisberger kind of fits that mode of quarterback you love to hate for his off the field antics.
Although in fairness to him, he was acquitted of all that, wasn't he?
Yeah, but acquitted by probably dumping some money in somebody's bank account.
Right, yeah. I can't comment. I won't be a wild speculator, but obviously that's the hand that hangs in there. So
seems like there are people that saw what happened, but yeah,
you can't, and, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What are you going to do if you don't have all the facts in front of you? But I mean,
well, I talked to an NFL scout about this once, and he said hitting your girlfriend in the NFL is not as bad as fumbling. And that's a horrible thing to say, but it is absolutely true. Guys that fumble sometimes get cut the next day. Guys that hit their girlfriends get suspended a game or two.
Yeah, yeah, that's
again,
awful.
A big image problem. So
right. So the AFC North, the closest division in the NFL, but Cincinnati is the favorite team to be in the playoffs. They have a 50% chance of making the playoffs. Of course, all you have to do to make the playoffs is be the lead team in your division. So,
sure.
Baltimore's 44%. So they look at pretty much Cincinnati or Baltimore to come out of this division and make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're betting on Cincinnati, right? I mean, Cincinnati makes it to the playoffs. Sure, they probably will make it to the playoffs as a wild card or division winner. Are you going to like bet the money line for Cincinnati to win a playoff game? I sure as I won't.
No, they're too. I mean, like you said, it could be great one week and it's terrible the next.
Yep.
Okay, NFC South, third best division of the eight, and they are supposed to win 33.7 times, almost 34 mm-hmm. times, second out of all the divisions.
Right.
They have a 17% chance to produce the Super Bowl winner, and they say Atlanta has improved the most by wins and losses.
Yeah, you know, the Falcons had big troubles last year because Julio Jones, their star receiver, was lost for most of the season. And then Roddy White, who's fantastic as well, he had a huge problem with his ankle. So they did lose Colton Gonzalez, but they did gain Trey Mason, the young running back. And I feel like, Matt Ryan is one of your more underrated quarterbacks. I feel like they have a good shot this year.
Yeah, I love how you know all these players, man. It's great. So they say Atlanta is supposed to be the most improved by wins and losses, but New Orleans may be the best candidate for most improved by talent on their roster. They added safety Jarius Byrd. Rob Ryan is now their defensive coordinator. Brandon Cooks is supposed to be a good wide receiver for fantasy.
Cooks is a dynamic player. When St. Louis drafted Tavon Austin, everyone was excited, but that's a small guy that they didn't really tend to use a lot. Whereas, I mean, New Orleans, I don't see them dropping a guy like that and not letting him sit a lot. So I feel like he could be a very dangerous player.
They also point out Kenny Vaccaro, strong safety, Akeem Hicks, a defensive line, and Teron Armstead, offensive tackle. They're supposed to be the top seed in the NFC, even above Seattle. And
I feel like Seattle, they challenged Seattle for the NFC title this year.
So it'd be interesting to see them in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll see them play Seattle.
That'd be great.
Atlanta is the first team we'll talk about in the NFC South. Are the Falcons a playoff team, Jesse?
You know, I mean, the defense is not very good. I do like the offense of Matt Ryan. I'm going to say perhaps as a wild card at 9-7.
Did you watch them on Hard Knocks?
I did not get to see that. How was that?
I didn't watch it either, but I know they were kind of the featured team this year. They have a below average offensive line that's supposed to be at the bottom of the league for their for their line play. Even on defensive front too, they have no pass rush. They're favored.
Yeah, they have problems.
They're only favored in six games. They used to be really, really good team, but favored in six games, and they're projected to have either 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah, gone are the days when who was their old coach from Denver? Who his playbook was run left and run light, run up the middle. He had 3 plays.
Dan Reeves.
Yeah, so the Dan Reeves playbook is gone, thank God. And, definitely exciting on offense. But like you said, they used to be good on defense. That's not really true anymore.
Carolina's next. Carolina has a good defense, but is it good enough? They used to be great defense, but I don't know. They seem to be fading. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Carolina, Cam Newton's good. He's a great running back. I'm not sure how good of a quarterback he is. They say that when Cam Newman's playing, basically that they kind of cut the playbook a little shorter, meaning he doesn't have to read the entire field. They kind of set it up so he's got to do easy reads. But obviously he has a talent. Kelvin Benjamin I like a lot. That's a huge receiver they just drafted. And even though he's a rookie, he's doing very well. Their running game is, average. Cam Newton's kind of their running game. I feel like they're good enough to win a wild card. Just don't feel like they're nearly good enough to win a playoff game, though.
Yeah, they pick out a couple running backs. D'Angelo Williams, but it used to be good, but he's 31 years old now. And Jonathan Stewart. Can Stewart take over for D'Angelo Williams, do you think?
I mean, if you know Stewart's history, Stewart is one of the most oft-injured players in the NFL. So for fantasy players, Stewart has been an eternal tease. So he's good. He's very talented. If he stays healthy, sure, they're running games a lot better.
And Cam Newton has a rib injury that's still not completely fixed, so he may not be as good a runner anymore as he used to be.
Well, if you ever had a rib injury, too, it hurts to kind of stand there. So now try to throw a football.
Right. You know, they're questioned. They could be good. They're favored in 8 games, and they're projected to be 8-8.
Yeah, look out for Kelvin Benjamin. He's good.
Last year they were underdogs in the whole between weeks 7 and 10. They were underdogs every game. They need to win at the end of the season to make the playoffs. They kind of fade at the end of the season. All right, let's talk about New Orleans. Rob Ryan is now with the Saints, or, you know, he was last year. He came in to help their defense. Right. And they're definitely a Super Bowl offense, but are they a Super Bowl defense?
You know, it doesn't feel like they're ready to be a next great defense. I mean, I think they made some improvements. New Orleans, obviously, if you're looking at New Orleans, you've got to look at their offenses carrying that team so far. I don't think they've made enough defensive improvements where they're going to be radically better.
Prediction Machine ranks them as the second-ranked defense for fantasy defense.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, when you've got that good of an offense, it does put pressure on the other team to score, and that does result in turnovers.
Yeah, you're actually reading my mind here, because that's what they say. They predict more interceptions. They predict more sacks. Ryan takes the right kinds of chances at the right and in the right situations.
Sure. Yeah, Ryan does love to blitz.
Jarius Byrd at free safety makes them an elite defense, and it's a huge improvement. 2 years ago, they were one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
No, it's true. I'm not giving him much credit. Obviously, you know, they have made some improvements. It remains to be seen in the field, though.
So this website, Prediction Machine, uses a lot of factors to predict the outcomes of games. And the biggest factor that they put in their algorithms is the ability of the defense to get to the quarterback. And that's why they put a lot of strength in New Orleans this year for that
reason.
Right,
so they like their pass rush.
They had two guys with 12 sacks last year, Cameron Jordan at defensive end and Junior Gillette at linebacker.
Yep.
So, and Kansas City had a great record last year with hardly any offense, but a great defense. So it kind of proves out that defense is super important.
Absolutely. Well, I think Denver proved that, right? I mean, Denver had a historically great offense last year and got crushed in the Super Bowl. So.
Right. New Orleans is the third best team in the NFL by power rankings overall. They're favored in all 16 games. And only the Seahawks and them are favored in all 16 games.
Wow.
They're projected to go 12-4 and be the top seed in the NFC.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think if I was a betting man, I would take them to win it all.
Would you take them to – well, if you take them to win it all, I guess you do answer that question. But you'd take them to be the top seed over Seattle?
I feel like, you know, Seattle hasn't lost much. We talked about Golden Tate. But I just think that, you know, I've always been a big Drew Brees fan, and – I just love Brandon Cooks. So I just feel like their offense is good enough to really propel them into the Super Bowl this year.
And, yeah, New Orleans only plays 3 projected playoff teams this year, so they have a fairly easy schedule.
Yeah, and Seattle, I believe, by strength of schedule, has a much harder schedule.
Okay, Tampa. Mike Lennon is replaced now by Josh McCown. Josh McCown's the Bears quarterback who came in when Cutler got hurt. 35 years old, he played pretty well with the Bears. But how do you feel about that?
You know, Mark Trestman obviously deserves some of that credit. Trestman installed a pretty amazing offense in Chicago. And McCown was really a journeyman, pretty mediocre before he went to Chicago. But here's one thing that's fascinating to me. Oftentimes you don't like kind of an average quarterback going to another team. You know what I mean? There's a lot of variables that aren't in place there. But there's two things that are interesting to me. Number one, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. So what did he have in Chicago? He had two gargantuan receivers that could dominate and high point for the ball. And that's really exactly what he's getting in Tampa Bay. Two really good, dominant, large targets to throw to. And I know Doug Martin had a bad year last year and he got hurt, but Doug Martin still is one of the more talented running backs. They've got problems in the offensive line, but they did just trade for that offensive lineman from New England. So I actually think he could be fine given how good those receivers could be.
Yeah, they were projected to maybe get Richie Incognito too. Did that ever happen, or is he on any team?
I want to say that St. Louis just gave him a tryout too, so I don't think he's signed yet.
Well, you're right about the receivers. Mike Evans and Jenkins are 6, or Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson are 6'5". They also have Austin Jenkins, tight end, 6'5". So they are they're like the Bears. They're like Marshall, Jeffrey, and Bennett.
No, it's true, and Jenkins is a rookie, so tight ends rookie position don't usually do great, but yeah, a lot of big targets, and I'm going to be excited about Mike Evans.
So McCown adds one more win than Glennon and adds 1.8 more points per game. So they're favored in 4 games and they're projected to be 7-9.
Yeah. Mike Glennon wasn't terrible last year, but I think McCown's got at least some experience over him.
So New Orleans, to talk about the division, to sum it up, New Orleans is supposed to have 3.7 more wins, so they're a 90% playoff team if Drew Brees stays healthy. Carolina, Atlanta, and Tampa are all separated by just one game, but none of those final three teams are supposed to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, I agree with the Saints going 12-4. I've got the Panthers. I think they're no better than 9-7. And then the Falcons, 8-8, and Bucks probably 8-8.
Yeah, Bucks had 7-9 even, so. Yeah. All right, AFC South. AFC South is the seventh of eight divisions, so they're also not very good. They're last in wins at only 29, but they have one factor. They have the Colts, so that helps them make up some of that badness or poor play.
Absolutely.
That gives them a 5% Super Bowl win chance, mostly all because of the Colts.
Absolutely.
Houston is supposed to be the most improved team, or at least had better be the most improved team.
Yeah. They have the Amish cannon throwing. You really think it's going to happen?
The Amish cannon. Who's that?
That's what they call. Isn't that what they call their Ivy League quarterback there?
Oh yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. I thought his nickname was the Amish cannon. I could be getting that wrong.
Ryan Fitzpatrick from Harvard.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, Ivy League quarterbacks always do really well in the NFL.
So let's see. So. Prediction Machine picked Houston last year as the sixth team in power rankings over all teams, and definitely Super Bowl contenders for 2013.
Well, they have a good defense, and they have Andre Johnson still, and Arian Foster, as old as he is still a really good offensive player.
And at the end of the year, they had the first-round draft pick, and they picked Jadeveon Clowney. So with J.J. Watt, they should have a pretty good defense.
Absolutely. I mean, if you know, Fitzpatrick, I gave him some trouble earlier, but if Fitzpatrick is competent and he can take shots down the field, if he protects the ball better than he has in the past, and that's a big gift, it could definitely be a competent team.
They also have a easier schedule because of their poor performance last year.
Sure.
So we'll get to them. But so I guess the first one we'll talk about here, Houston, they have a new coach, Bill O'Brien. He was the Penn State coach who came in after all that bullshit happened with Penn State. And
right. Enough said about that, right?
Yeah. So, and he's a Belichick disciple. So I think he's probably a really good coach.
Sure. Although I can't imagine that the history is has fared that well on Belichick disciples.
What do you mean?
Meaning, if I could be wrong about this, but I don't recall the Belichick disciples doing all that well as head coaches.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Meaning, people are giving Belichick a lot of credit for that because it feels like every guy they let go. You remember Romeo Crennel, I believe, went to Kansas City or whatever and didn't do that well. So feels like Belichick really is the mastermind there.
Yeah, it could be right. So Fitzpatrick's a quarterback. Their backup is Tom Savage. And they're only favored in seven games. They're supposed to go 8-9.
I believe they just traded for a quarterback, too.
Not 8-9. They're supposed to have 8 or 9 wins.
Right. But New England for a quarterback, I think.
Did they? Seven. Did they? I didn't hear that. Yeah. Okay. Indianapolis, Andrew Luck, of course, is probably getting better every day. Their defense could be a dynastic defense, this website Prediction Machine calls it. They were ranked 15th overall last year in power rankings, 20th in pass efficiency, and 15th in run efficiency on the defense now. I think they're still a little bit behind the Broncos. But they're probably improving and should be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love Andrew Luck. And you got to wonder, you know, we talked about how important are coaches in the NFL. And, I mean, to me, you have a mediocre running game there with an average offensive line. They traded for Trent Richardson. I watched kind of every Colts game last year. Trent Richardson was really mediocre. But still, they insist on being a power running team. I don't believe it. Luck is one of the bright young passers. You know, they traded for Hakeem Nicks, or at least they signed Hakeem Nicks, and you know they got some good receivers there. So they got both their tight ends are healthy, so they can say whatever they want about part of the running game. If they don't let Andrew Luck throw the ball a lot, I think they're nuts.
Did you see the picture of Robert Mathis? He's suspended for drug enhancement, but he left a poster on his locker.
No, what does it say?
He left this big message. He's got his arms all crossed, and he's mean looking, and he's holding this note, and the note says a whole bunch of stuff, but it basically says, "Don't take the sport for granted. You know, make it worth every minute you're out there." It's kind of a motivational.
So is that showing some regret then, that he feels bad about what happened?
Yeah, I think it's like, I regret that I can't be there with you and you have a chance to make every game count and all that. So it's probably pretty positive.
Well, that's impressive.
Yeah, Google them. You can find us. They have it up everywhere on the news now.
Right.
Indy's favored to win 13 times, and their projected record is 9-7.
Yeah, I've got them a little higher. I think they're going to go 10-6. You know, I feel like with luck alone, I think that team it should be the favorite to win the division pretty easily.
Okay, Jacksonville. Jacksonville has Seattle's defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, from last year as their new head coach.
Yeah, they've always been, you know, kind of sporadic on defense, but the rookies sure look good in the last four preseason games. So the rookie quarterback, so we'll see how that goes.
Jacksonville's ranked 31st in offense and 32nd in defense.
Yeah.
They're ranked 29th or worse in 12 categories of offense and defense.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they drafted a couple good rookie wide receivers, and you know what's really underrated there is their running back that they signed from Minnesota. I can't remember his name, sorry. But he's pretty good. He's very pretty elusive for a guy his size, and that could really help that team offensively.
Yeah, a prediction machine dropped a bomb on Jacksonville by criticizing their one of their owner's sons, who is the senior vice president of football technology and analytics. They call him an embarrassingly empowered nepotism failure.
Wow, Tony, that's spectacular.
Tony Khan's the owner's son, and he's the he's one of these Moneyball guys, like we were talking about. He cranks it out through the computer and comes up with stuff, but he's just kind of a nepotism situation. They're favored in one game, Tennessee, in Week 16, and they're projected to be 5-11.
Yeah, I mean, they could show some incremental improvement, but obviously that's a team with a lot of holes.
All right, Tennessee, Jake Locker's quarterback, and Zach Mettenberger from LSU is the rookie quarterback. But he's hurt. I think he has a torn ACL as well, or he had one. What do you think about Locker?
I mean, Locker, Locker's irrelevant. He is actually an underrated runner, though. So Locker's problem is he doesn't seem to be polished enough to take the next step. He can beat some guys and do pretty well. But the fact is, he's probably not good enough to get them to the playoffs.
Yeah, they say with Locker, they score 3.4 points more than anyone, than I guess this rookie, if he were to step in, and have 1.5 more wins. They have Kendall Wright, I guess, supposed to be good in fantasy. Justin Hunter are targets for whoever ends up being quarterback. At wide
receiver. Kendall Wright's very good. He got like 90 catches last year, 2 touchdowns. That's kind of an odd anomaly. But yeah, and Hunter is very good. Hunter, raw as he is, he's got a bit of Randy Moss in him. He's a big guy. He's also, like Randy Moss, kind of troubled. Nate Washington starts ahead of him, but he's the kind of guy, if he gets his stuff together, he could be pretty amazing.
Tennessee's only favored in 4 games. They're projected to have 6.5 wins, so they're not going to be very good.
I would agree with that.
The AFC South winner is Indianapolis 68% of the time, and Houston has a chance, also 50% chance of being a playoff team.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
So that's it. That's the whole shebang, Jesse. That's every team. What now? Who do you think is going to be in the? Who's the NFC and AFC champion?
Just for the heck of it, I'm going to say that the Saints lose to the New England Patriots.
Okay, and let's back it up one step. How about the NFC Championship game?
Sorry about that. The Niners have a shot, but I'm going to go ahead and say that it's the Saints and the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, and AFC?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Denver and New England, and history shows that Belichick usually does pretty well against Peyton Manning. So.
And then the final champion?
I like the over. Bet the over, whatever it is. But, yeah, I'm going to say that... New England beats the Saints by a lot. It's going to be like a barn burner, like 35-28.
Really? So you like New England that much, huh? Why don't you think the Saints are going to score if they make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I think, like I said, I think both teams will score 4 or 5 touchdowns. But I just think, you know, I love Drew Brees, but I think it's hard to beat Belichick for one of the best coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, hard to argue with that.
Yep.
All right, well, so that does it. Let's try to connect sometime during the season and pick out some games and do some predictions for individual games.
That would be awesome.
All right, man. Thanks again, and I appreciate you helping me through these technical fixes that we had.
You got it. Have a good day.
All right, you too, man. See ya.